Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Say my name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. One in the books still. Two to go. The big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday fun day in the big city, wherever you may be. Appreciate you making us a part of your workday or your drive or even sitting at your cube, as we've talked about. But obviously, in most cases, it's recommended that you use earbuds and headphones because the topic can sometimes get a little off of sports, as you know. Nick will tell you exactly who to blame for that.
Barry Laminack.
He's not here today. Yeah. So,
but he's not here to defend himself, so we can say whatever we want. And he can't do anything.
But I don't think you enjoy that as much.
What? Enjoy messing with Barry? Yeah. I absolutely do.
I don't think you... That's what I'm saying. So I don't think you enjoy it when he can't respond and get into it with you a little bit.
Yeah, I do like... I do like... Just like he likes to make me mad on the air, I like to make him mad on the air. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I don't really have to do anything. I can just let the text line do that.
I see.
Or
that
Twitter.
He at least saw that we made him the... because we did our part. We reached out and made him the comedian of the week on an FEF Friday.
Yeah, I mean, there's... He tries to do comedians that are, you know, either from Houston or have some sort of Houston tie. And sometimes the list is a little short. There's only so many stand-up comics. But
he's on the road, so show him some love. And also the fact that a lot of people hear him on the show every day.
Yeah.
And they haven't heard his stuff. So if you haven't, go see him when he comes back. Because Lord knows that he, you know, gets out there and makes a lot of appearances. But your support there would be obviously appreciated as well. Very basketball centric in hour number one. We get Tyler into this too because you know he's an Astro head. Nice little, and I understand there's some altitude and all the different factors that go into the trip to Mexico, Monterrey. But bottom line is taking care of the business against the divisional foe and the bats really waking up was just a very, very friendly and pleasant sight if you're an Astros fan this weekend. The one thing that I continue to tweet about and I talk to people about is I love what Verlander's able to do. Got his fifth win already. But in the first game of the series, the whole Verlander ding thing, I just don't understand why every single game, and it didn't take long in this one, the leadoff guy hits a home run. He's given up a bomb in every start so far this year, and that's just not Verlander-like for all the other things that have been positive about what he's brought out, brought to the table.
But he's a guy that you trust that can get out of a situation like that, right?
He had a stretch like that last year, too, though.
Yeah.
I don't remember him giving up the long ball like that.
There were a few games where he got touched up a couple times for home runs, and it seemed like it was maybe three or four consecutive starts. But after that, I think he figured out what he was doing. He went, probably watched some tape, maybe wasn't hanging some breaking balls up there. But, I mean, I think he is a smart enough guy that he can probably figure out what he's doing, and maybe they're just seeing his pitches better.
Smart enough to not give the same thing up to Jonathan Lucroy twice and turn Lucroy for one game into a massive power hitter with two home runs?
I mean, you never know.
Because I'm just saying, I'm with you, Tyler. My whole thing was, and Barry and I talked about it on the show, look, in the first month, especially if he's trying to work on a new pitch and he had been trying to work in a new pitch.
Even at the beginning of the season, he was talking about like he was trying to change up his mechanics. Not necessarily change his mechanics, but the way he kind of loads up. And I don't know if that is causing some weird problem for people to see the ball better off of him.
He was working on a changeup. So yeah. With all those things being said, in the first couple starts, and again, to your point about, hey, if he goes a couple games and gives up a bomb or two, I get it because he's working on some things. But now we're knee-deep into the second full month of the season. He's got 5 wins. And, of course, the ERA isn't bad, especially when you look at how he's been the anchor of the staff again. I'm not worried about it, but it does concern me a little bit that in every start he's given up a bomb.
Does it ease the pain a little bit knowing that he did well against this team last year? He just happened to not do so well this year in Mexico?
No, you know what it does? It makes me fearful of the fact that it was just the Angels. So, to your point, it scares me more because what happens when he plays the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers? You know, teams that are loaded offensively. Those are when those mistakes can hurt a little bit more. Now, you know, on the good side of things, the offense woke up. And when you get 4 and 5 home runs a game on your side, it certainly does make it easier to swallow. I'm just saying for the long haul, I've got some concerns about Verlander giving up an average of at least 1 home run per start.
Let's blame it on the stadium. Monterrey Baseball Stadium. Have you ever been?
No, the baseball.
The baseball stadium. I mean, I don't know. I mean, did they ever talk about the conditions, the baseball stadium?
Well, now they did say, and I heard Charlie said
Denver.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's closer to Denver. They said like Mexico City is worse.
Yeah.
They said, Charlie even said, Mexico City will never have a major league team because it's just, it's ridiculous. The ball just jumps out of there. So they went to Monterrey because it's obviously a regular season games, which is a little better. But yeah, Tyler's right. The ball still jumps.
Yeah, I don't know. I just was interested where they were playing. That was just a random thought there. I didn't know if that's a favorable field for the Houston Astros or for someone like Justin Verlander who's been struggling a little bit. But yeah, if I had to give you an analogy or an example, I tend to put him in the Eric Gordon category in terms of being to find a way to get out of a slump. I don't know if this is a different season or maybe. But what he was referring to, I feel like that was right around the time, like when he was working on that changeup and everything, that was right around the time when he was really questioning himself as a pitcher, like before he became an Astro, and he was working on some things in terms of mechanics.
Before he became an Astro, but since he became an Astro, Tyler, that's the other thing I was going to ask you.
Last season there was a point.
With the Tigers or the Astros?
With the Astros.
Okay.
He was with the Astros all last season.
Right.
Oh, that's right. It was 2 years ago. Right.
There was a point in time where I think he kind of, he didn't go as long into games as Cole and Morton, and he was towards the end of the season. I think there were a few games where he ended up giving up either multiple home runs or at least one or two like per game for maybe 3 or 4 games.
Oh, okay. Because I'm just saying, I'm not worried. It's just a bit of a concern. And for me, the bigger thing, the bigger positive, and you guys can chime in on what you take away from this series, the bigger positive to me was that you got contributions from Yuli, that he woke up, that, you know, he was really slumping. Altuve started to heat up because those guys are guys you have to have in the middle of your lineup. Brantley has proven to be a fantastic pickup. You know, I was huge on that before they even thought about signing him. I thought he was a great guy to get in there. And so from an offensive perspective, even Bregman, who was good, but not what people thought he could be after what he did last year. But Bregman was just spectacular this weekend. And if the bats come close to being like that, and they don't have to even be that severely powerful offensively, but if they get going like this for a while, now they could go on a run.
I know we don't have that much time, but everybody was talking about that call in Spanish.
The Grand Slam.
The Bregman Grand Slam play-by-play call in Spanish. We got to hear that in the next segment.
Yeah, so we'll come back with that. We'll open up the next segment with the Bregman Grand Salami in Spanish. It was fantastic. So we'll get to that. If you want to kick it around on some Astros, we can obviously shoot it with you as we're here for you. And also, we have plenty of other stuff. So don't go anywhere. It's hour number 2. It is alive and kicking in the second hour right here on ESPN 97.5.
Research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
¶¶
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Y las herramientas que tiene, hablando de tipo de picheos, cantidad de picheos y la calidad de los picheos.
La pelota en dirección hacia territorio del jardín central rápidamente. Trout, gran slam, a lo profundo. Y no, 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 no. Díganle que no es esa pelota.
Tercer Grand Slam de su carrera, segundo de esta temporada. Ya le había conectado uno a Liam Hendricks del equipo de Oakland.
As promised, the ESPN Deportes call. First takeaway, fellas, without being able to understand a single word he said except for pelota, which I believe is the ball.
Gotta love their energy, man. They've always... But that's how Spanish radio is. Like, in whatever they do... One thing
but
they
that's
never
where I was
lack.
Going. If you, because I didn't understand it, if you didn't tell me what it was, I'd have told you someone just scored a goal. It sounds the same because he even does the goal or, you know, no, 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 no. And I'm like, well, someone just went to the high corner and top shelf a soccer ball.
So if you weren't necessarily paying attention to the TV, but you had the audio up loud enough, he got your attention, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Spanish calls, but I was on Twitter and everybody was tweeting about the Spanish call, like everybody on Twitter was. But yeah, no, I love the energy. I if any of our Spanish speaking listeners could tell us exactly what he said, text it in because I have no idea what he said. Zero.
Yeah, I knew pelota is the pellet, which is the ball, I believe.
Right.
But the first guy. Who doesn't get the love either. It's like he sets it up, and then all of a sudden the other guy just goes, time to get that, no, 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 and he just takes over. But the first guy sounded like Jose Bartita a little bit.
I feel like if you are an English-speaking broadcaster and you do that, then you'll be accused of being over the top.
Yeah, to some degree.
Like, you really can't do that if you're an English-speaking broadcaster, I feel like, anymore, unless you were, like, old school, like, from back in the day, and you've always done it, and you're still in the business. I feel like you can't be like that over the top anymore.
Well, and everybody has their shtick, right? And I used to get, some people loved it, some people hated it when I only did the rhyming during the post game and the halftime highlight shows, but it put its own, it gave it a little something extra because otherwise it can get kind of redundant. But, you know, still, Berman started it with all the different plays on the names and the backs and yep. All that. So you had that. Stuart Scott had his own shtick. Everybody's got a shtick, but it's just how much the fans either take to it or don't like it. Like I've told you guys in the past, the second guy I had doing Comets games for me created his own signature, like when someone's on fire and it was burning with the white hot intensity of 1,000 suns. And I tried not to be like offensive and just saying, I think it's kind of long and maybe you should work on something else. But he was so dead set on that being his signature call, Jeff Hagedorn, that's what he wanted to use. So I was like, all right, well, then use it.
I remember you telling me about that story. But yeah, I mean, I guess you don't necessarily have to have a signature call anymore if you want to be a broadcaster. You just have to be in the moment. You know what I mean? Like Craig Ackerman, clean up on aisle three. Wasn't that what he said?
But that was like completely unscripted. It was just off the cuff. It was fantastic.
Exactly. And I think that's how you make it your name as a broadcaster now, as opposed to having this signature call. I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea because people can like remember you for whatever signature call you have. But
so we've got an expert translator in house, and he was able to let us know what we had.
Okay.
At first, he says deep fly ball to center field, or fly ball to center field deep, and then he says he does the no, 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 and after that, Jose says it's not a clean translation, but he says say no to that baseball. So I don't know.
So it's
exactly
like,
what that means.
So that's his shtick.
Yeah,
say no to drugs or something. Say no to that baseball.
like, or say bye to that baseball, maybe something like that.
Okay. So like the literal translation wouldn't be funny to us because of probably like the culture barrier, probably is what I'm thinking.
And I said that the first voice that you hear sounds a little, when it first starts out, sounds a little like Jose Partida. Then the guy just kind of, once the pitch is delivered, he's just gone. And the other guy's just going crazy doing his thing. So
wrestling calls in Spanish, I've heard a bunch of those.
Real wrestling or fake wrestling?
Fake.
Yeah, I'm going to get hammered for that.
See, I don't like using that word because then you get killed on the text line when you call it fake.
The theatrics of WWE or real wrestling? Because obviously most real wrestling doesn't have an announcer.
How does, who's the Spanish guy for the Rockets?
Adrian Chavarria.
Adrian, does he kind of go over the top? I've never heard him. I've never really paid attention to him call a game.
One of his signatures, and the only reason why I know this, and again, like when I had to critique Adrian, what I would do is send his tapes out.
How are you
out,
critiquing him? You don't even speak the language.
Which is what I'm explaining to you. So because I didn't, I would send his tapes to the league office to someone that does speak Spanish, do Spanish broadcasting, that could then give me insight as to what he does well, what he needs to do better. But I know that because they used to sit us next to each other, home and road, that one of the things was right on the jump ball, he would roll an R for like a minute. Like, yeah, he'd be like, and I kept looking over going, he's going to stop at some point. And that was his deal. Like, there was one R he would roll to start the game with a jump ball.
So he is
ball.
A yeller, but in a way.
Kind of. And I, look,
because he
love
doesn't
him,
strike me as a yeller when I talk to him.
He does a great job, but he also is able to... Spanish announcers that I've had the pleasure to work with over the years, one thing I realized is they multitask better than anybody I've ever seen. Adrian is a huge fan of a certain soccer team. He will watch the soccer game full blown while he's calling a Rockets
game. No, he will not.
Yes, he will. And I promise you that at times I would jump because he would pound the table and my computer would jump up. And I thought, man, it's like someone's dribbling the ball on the perimeter. Why would he be? And there was no controversial calls. And I'd look over, and his soccer team just gave up a goal.
He'd be watching the soccer game during the. Does he still do that? You're totally throwing him under the bus.
No. I'm saying, and it was just certain times. But I forget, and I could find out his team. But he's from. I mean, boy, he is a huge soccer fan. And again,
that's fantastic. He's watching a soccer game and calling the Rockets.
And yet he's one of the best in the league. And literally, when I send the tapes in and just sitting next to him, and his passion is unbelievable. But the guys that I've worked with over the years, like we would make a deal with a certain station in town. They'd have two guys. One guy would literally read a novel and then do the studio show. And I'd be like, okay, look, I don't know the language, but you can't tell me that you can break down one of the tendencies or some of the things that are happening in the first half when you're reading War and Peace while the game's going on.
Wow. The things that go on behind the scenes.
Man.
That listeners and viewers have no idea about.
And by the way, if you are like you, and I'm going to give you the heads up, although here's something to keep in mind tonight, two events at the same time downtown. You got Royals and Astros at the Juice Box. You got the late start with the Rockets. Traffic is going to be tough, people. Prepare accordingly. Lucky with the late start with the Rockets, you get a head start. But that means do everyone a favor. Try and be there on time because it's a little later start. But getting out,
but
keep
now they have
mind.
An excuse. The Astros game was going on at the same time, Joel.
But with a late start, Nick, they can actually wait a little bit. And
Astros
they
at 7:10. Rockets at 8:30, right?
Yep.
Which is technically like 8:40.
Yeah, and then depending on how the basketball game goes, you would hope that the baseball game clears out before the basketball game's over with. But, you know, those people like to leave early on weeknights.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bobblehead night, though.
It is.
I think the Bregman Stare bobblehead tonight.
I don't think it's... Is it, you sure it's that one?
I think so.
I think they already had the Stare bobblehead because remember that was the one Trevor Bauer used and set...
Never mind. It might be Hugs for Homers.
It is. It is Hugs for Homers because I'll tell you this. The one thing, and I've said this before, props to Reed Ryan. When you tag Reed Ryan on a tweet and tell him something went wrong with any bit of customer service, he gets right involved. And someone was using, I think there's a veteran type app, but you can add to get access tickets, and there weren't any tickets available, and the person tagged Reed and said, you know, I was just trying to get the bobblehead tonight and go. I didn't know if there was a certain amount you could sell. He chimed right in and goes, one of our ticket people is going to be in contact with you shortly to make sure that you're able to go tonight.
Nice.
That's cool stuff. And that's because of his background in minor league baseball. I think his customer service is fantastic. So, all right, there's Astros and Rockets already in the first half of the show and plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. Second half is around the corner right here on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go, second half of the show. If you missed it, Barry driving back from El Paso. We'll be back, all things go well, tomorrow. We were supposed to have Cody today, Cody Stutes. He big-timed us, and or he's just a very poor schedule connoisseur.
Because he's a busy man.
He agreed to do the show today, then let Nick and I know at 7:35 this morning that he was already scheduled to do SB Nation. So he bowed out. Nick was gracious enough to respond within 6 hours and say he was in.
He should have known I wasn't going to respond to that text at 8:30 in the morning.
Well,
that was super bad. More power to Cody, though. Emailing at 1:30 and being up at 7:30.
Yeah, but 1:30 when he was emailing to you was something totally different. If he knew last night, it would have made all of our lives a little easier to let us know.
He obviously really believed he was doing the show, and he totally forgot about the show that he was doing down the hall. Otherwise, he wouldn't have emailed that audio piece. But that's cool. I don't mind stepping in.
I'm glad to have you, but don't just sit on it, Cody. I mean, aside from flattening the damn thing, you could let us know so we could plan accordingly. Dr. Dre on 290 letting us know the bobbleheads. Tonight, hugs for homers. Tomorrow night, Game of Thrones night. You jacked up for that?
I might actually try and go to that game.
Now, are they going to have the big throne to take pictures on?
I believe they will.
Will you be sitting in it?
I don't know.
Come on.
I know somebody who dresses up as the Daenerys character every year and goes and sits on the throne. I don't know why, but...
At the game they dress up?
Yeah.
You got some weird
friends.
There's
going to be people dressing up tomorrow, for sure.
You got some weird friends. But you know what? Blummer would do it. If he didn't have to do a game, Blummer would do it.
One of the biggest things in the world right now.
I understand that. But Nick and I are not part of that whole deal.
Well, that's unfortunate for y'all because it's awesome.
Just watching you watch that final segment of the show 2 weeks ago was downright...
Makes you want to get into it?
It made me very fearful of what you do in your private time because that was scary to me. And you were just,
he's not alone because it does, like when I see people tweet about it, it does make me want to get into it.
I will also say that I was kind of hungover over that day too. So
couldn't tell, Tyler. I'm the only one, you can always tell when I'm hungover. You can never tell when Tyler's hungover. Mm. You hide it well, sir.
I was a little bit today too.
I will agree with half of that. We can tell when you're hungover.
Yeah.
But Tyler, to me, seems like the same.
Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah. So, but more so than anything else, I think there are times when we can tell Tyler's a little sluggish. But with you, there's no doubt. We know when you have partaken in the festivities.
If you ever worked with me on the weekends, I would know. Yeah.
I know John knew because John used to see it all the time. He's like, oh, nigga's been drinking. Like, John, like, it was, I couldn't hide it from John. But, yeah.
Good thing he wasn't your boss. Never mind.
See, but that's not nice.
It's true. I mean, you could at least try and hide it from your boss.
I'm always trying to hide it. Always.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Astros opening up a homestand now, just so people are aware. So after a roadie last week, 7 games at home coming up, opening up with the Royals tonight, Gerrit Cole on the hill. Royals have been playing better of late, but their pitching staff not great. So you would hope that the home cooking and the hot bats of this weekend spill over into this series at home, trying to gain some momentum. They have a 2-game lead right now over the Mariners. So those pesky Mariners have come back to reality a little bit, but because the Astros have been up and down to some degree, they've still got some ground to kind of establish themselves more in the division. So we'll see if that helps playing the Royals at home, because their schedule for the rest of the month isn't too bad. So we'll see how that goes. And then, of course, like we said, from a traffic perspective, be aware of the fact two home games, same city, almost same time. Astros at 7:10, Rockets 8:36, I believe, is tip.
It's not too far. It is kind of close to Toyota Center, so I can definitely see some of the traffic conflicting, but I don't know if it's going to be that bad.
Altuve birthday again tonight, as well as Chris Paul. Happy birthday to PJ Tucker yesterday.
So, he is 32, 33, I would imagine.
He and Chris Paul are about the same age, because Chris is 34 today.
So, 34. So they both turned 34.
And they're both from the same, they grew up in the same area in Carolina. So
they're boys.
That's how, yes. That was that. And that's a big factor now, because remember, part of the recruiting process to get Chris Paul to the Rockets was Trevor Ariza. And then the other big factor in Chris Paul coming here, besides James Harden and Trevor, was the fact that PJ Tucker was on the team, because of the fact that they were tight growing up. And when the Minnesota trade scenarios kept popping up for Jimmy Butler, the one guy that they would not part with was PJ Tucker, for the fact that he had gotten to be very close with Harden, but he had always been close with Chris Paul. And not only from a team perspective, but if you trade one of those two guys' best friends, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, I didn't know it for a while, but I didn't know that PJ Tucker went to UT. So,
yep. I mean, with Kevin Durant. Interesting fact there. They're boys. So that's the weird dynamic.
Why doesn't he bring KD over?
Because KD's not... I'm sorry. And I hate to break this to you guys, but KD's not a fan of Houston.
I'm not shocked at that. I'm not shocked when LeBron... There all this talk about when LeBron was making the... Everybody knew he was going to L.A. Only delusional Houston fans thought that there'd be a slight chance that LeBron was going to sign and come to Houston. Houston.
But two different reasons, okay? Because from the LeBron perspective, I don't think there's anything that ever happened on the floor or otherwise that would sway him from Houston.
His decision was all based on his kids and family.
And they weren't big fans of going to Houston. Yeah. They heard a lot about the humidity in
which
the summers.
Which means they're not fans of Houston, though. I mean, isn't that kind of what it means?
But I think, like, obviously he wanted Bronny Jr. to be set up in whatever private school in L.A.
Right.
Here's where I'm going with this, though. Here's where I'm going, Nick, because of what you just said. The UT connection, and KD has a lot of really good friends that he made when he was at UT that are now involved in financial planning for him. One's like a father figure to him that I know of. There's several people that he's very, very tight with. So there were a lot of things that would have lined up to say he would consider Houston. The biggest thing that changed all that was the Oklahoma City Rocket Series, where Beverly went and took a shot at Westbrook's knee. I have seen Kevin Durant when he was with the Thunder. I have seen Kevin Durant when he was with the Warriors. Kevin Durant is a really good dude. And obviously he's changed now that he's been with the Warriors and all this different scrutiny. But I'll tell you this, I've never in my life seen Kevin Durant more than, and you see it in this series, where he kind of laughs and talks to players. He'll do that to PJ Tucker. He will do that to James Harden. He has a little bit more negativity when he does it to Chris Paul. But in terms of the organization, I have never in my life seen a man that, like I said, that had that kind of good reputation as Kevin Durant spew more venom than after that Beverly play. Every chance he got against the Rockets and the rest of any time they played him, whether he was with the Thunder or the Rockets, he would make it a point to go to the bench to cuss-ladenly lay into all of them. And at that point, I looked at Craig. He ain't coming here. He ain't never coming here, because fired him up.
He basically thinks that one bad apple ruined the bunch.
I think so. He's still going to be friends with
James.
It's
like an organizational issue.
There was a lot. Now, maybe that's changed, because now you got Beverly's gone.
Play here,
McHale's gone. That coaching staff is gone. The ownership is gone. So maybe it'll change. I know that he's still very, very tight with James, and that's big. But if even you watch in game three, Chris Paul was doing his gamesmanship things and things like that and talking to the officials, and Durant wasn't having it.
It just bothers me as a Houstonian, because I just feel like it's, I mean, you look at PG-13. You look at the Rockets, maybe even if you're not the biggest fan of the city, you look at that team, that roster has to be an attractive roster if you're a superstar. It has to be an attractive roster for someone like Paul George, Kevin Durant, or LeBron James. And all three of them chose not to sign with the Houston Rockets. PG-13 signed with OKC when Russell Westbrook was at his peak in terms of that reputation of being that guy that nobody wants to play with, right? Ball stopper, ball hog, all that other good stuff. And Paul George still made the decision to sign with OKC with someone like Russell Westbrook, knowing there's a risk of him not getting a lot of touches. And he skipped over the fact that the Houston Rockets has a roster of Chris Paul, James Harden, and some depth that gave the Golden State Warriors a fit the season before.
But you would have had to gut some of that to get him in. And the thing is, and to his credit, he gave what he didn't have to do, his thought process behind staying. One, he got a whole lot more money staying with the franchise that had him the year previous, as opposed to the money he would have lost going to the Lakers. And he's still young enough that he has another max contract coming where he'll make it up. And he and Russ developed a pretty good relationship in the year that he was there. And he said, look, they made the move to go get me when they didn't have to. And he appreciated that. So I think those all factored in before he made his decision. Now, you do have a point, though, because you remember the first time Dwight Howard was a free agent, he said he would consider Dallas, but he wouldn't even consider Houston no matter how interested they were. Once you added James Harden, everything changed.
Again, you had to sell them on the fact. You had to sell them on the fact to come to Houston. He wasn't coming to Houston. Okay, now you got James Harden. All right, now it's a possibility.
Right.
You have to use the roster, not the city.
But then let's take a look at what happened afterwards. Because of the way it ended. Because whether who was right and who was wrong when they kept drawing the line in the sand and he and Harden didn't get along. A lot of people took note of that, too, because don't think when Carmelo Anthony was considering them when he still could play that he didn't ask a whole lot of people about how serious this deal was between the two of them and how each guy was. And he had a pretty good scouting report before he came in from other people in the league that Dwight was like a four-year-old in a seven-footer's body and couldn't grow up, and James Harden was extremely selfish and immature at the time. So you've overcome some of those things, and some of those things people still remember when they're looking at where they want to play the next 4 or 5 years. So we'll throw that out there for you. By the way, over-under, fellas, tonight, Steph Curry, 26.5. What do you got, Tyler?
Over.
I'm with you. Nick?
I'm going to go under. I still think it's KD that's going to go off.
People are saying his finger is bad. It's not his shooting hand, and I don't think it's bad as people think. He just was awful from Steph Curry standards, and he hasn't been great this series. He's hearing all the national buzz right now killing him. I think he comes out with a purpose tonight. I think you see a different Steph. We'll see. All right. You got the other side of it, so we got plenty to talk about, depending on how that goes. All right, rolling through hour number two, three-hour show. Don't go anywhere. Much more right around on the horizon. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, appreciate the listeners out there. UT, obviously a hot button of resource information for some that went there. PJ Tucker went to school with LaMarcus Aldridge in 05-06. Kevin Durant only with DJ Augustine 06-07, so they crossed paths maybe, but never played together, but they are boys. So thank you for the information on the text line, peeps. But I know that I just knew that they were tight. Someone texted in, people don't like the Rockets management either. Nick, I'll leave that one to you. I don't feel like getting elaborate on that. But I think there might be.
You're the guy to elaborate on a situation like that, not me.
I think there might be something there. But, you know, to each his own.
You can't satisfy everybody. Sometimes you can't get everybody to like you. It's just the way it is. So I'm sure there's players that left that Houston Rockets organization and said, I hate management. And I'm sure people left that team and they're like, you know what? I had a good experience there. So just kind of depends.
And, you know, and a lot of times, too, like in free agency, a lot of these guys that are... I remember Brett Barry telling me the first time before he ended up going to the Rockets, they courted him hard. And he's like, I took the meeting with the Rockets because I knew that they were going to give me a free iPad and a whole bunch of electronics that I really wanted. And it's almost like a college recruiting trip, but with no sanctions from the NCAA. That one of the things that the Rockets like to do is make sure that if you take a meeting with them, you get some hardware to take away with you. And a lot of guys like the swag aspect.
I wonder what Tillman does, because I know that was under the Les Alexander era, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe he entices you with something else other than an iPad now. But I mean, I can see any team sweetening up the deal.
It's Tad Brown's team now. So you got to understand that, you know, what he does too is going to be big, because he has to be in all those meetings. And it'll be interesting to see if they get any meetings with any, because they're not going to, they have no money. They have no flexibility this offseason to be in any kind of discussions. But what you really need is you need to make sure the role players are up to speed, because of what we saw this year when the square pegs were put into round holes with the likes of James Ennis and Michael Carter Williams and guys that just didn't fit. And luckily, through the buyout market, they were able to work it out. Now, this year, you either have to be hopeful that a lot of teams get rid of a lot of good talent like Austin Rivers and Kenneth Frieden, and also hope that those guys, at least from Austin Rivers' perspective, wants to sign back here if they take less. But because of the monster contracts that they have going right now with Capella, Harden, Paul, and even one more year at Gordon, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And even when you have guys like Gordon's contract that expires, you hope he wants to stay, and you have to go over the luxury tax, because the fact of the matter is you can't go pursue others when Chris Paul's going to be making $40 million a year.
Yeah, and that flexibility factor is going to be a challenge for any team. I mean, you look at the Denver Nuggets, like we mentioned Paul Millsap earlier in the show. They're already over the limit, the salary cap, and they don't really have a star on that team outside of Jokic.
Jokic and Murray are two.
Murray is
good
a star?
And here's the... He's
a star in the making, or is he a star?
I'd say because of the playoffs this year, he's a star.
Okay, so he's making a name for himself in the postseason.
Now, I've told you about him for 2 years, and I've said this kid is just special the way he shoots the ball, and he's going to get better and better. But because of what he did in this year's playoffs, because he didn't shy away from the spotlight, because when they needed a bucket, he went and got it for you. Because when he had an off night, like the one game in the series previous to this against the Spurs, he didn't just go away. He kept shooting his way through it till he came back again. Got all the traits, and I think because of the way he's played in the first two series, I think he's now a star.
Okay, fair enough. But regardless of the situation, they're at least $10 million over the salary cap. And even if following next season, they're going to have to sign that guy. So if he's as big a star as you say he is, he's probably going to be making a hell of a lot more than $4.4 million a year.
But he's not free next year.
Right. It's the following year.
Right. And Millsap expires at the end of next year. So now you're going to be okay, because the $30 million, if you pick up the option, I think you said, on Millsap for one more year, you're fine with, because it gets you through. And then when you need the cash, you work. And essentially how these deals go is, look, you go to Paul's representatives and you say, hey, man, you got an option. We probably shouldn't pick it up, but we're going to do you a solid. We're going to pick it up because everybody else is still under contract, and there's not anybody out there that we think we can get because of the difference in money if you stay. But if you want to come back after that, do us a solid. Come back on a more reasonable contract, because we have to sign Jamal. We have guys with contracts coming up.
But as it stands right now, they're spending less money than the Nuggets, the Rockets. So...
But I'm saying, but because you're locked into Paul for 3 more years, Harden's got a long-term deal at 30+. You got Capella for, 3 more years? You got they're stuck for the next 3 years after this year, really.
Right.
Whereas the Nuggets, they're going to be fine with Millsap's contract, because when it expires, that's when you need the money.
Right. But my point is, it's a similar situation with Denver. You got Nikola locked up for 26, 28, all the way up to $32 million for the next, all the way through 2022-23. Even if you don't pick up the team option with Paul Millsap at $30 million, you're still going to have to replace that roster spot with a player that fits this team. You got Gary Harris that's making $18 million a year all the way up until 20 through 2022. The challenge, I actually am with you in terms of the challenge the Rockets have to sign another player, but that challenge is going to exist on a number of teams, probably at least half the league is going to have that problem, because even when you're dealing with a roster that's not that good, you're probably $5-10 million over the salary cap anyway. You know, it's just a challenge that everybody's going to have. And at least with the Rockets, like I said, you're supposed to have a roster that's attractive. They at least have an attractive roster, I feel like, that should be attractive to other stars to bring them in. They just haven't had.
Do they? Because what you're saying is, and I agree with you, Chris Paul isn't even close to the player he once was.
So, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah. So now it's not just about James Harden, because now you get super teams. And now if the Warriors break up, that's one thing that is in the Rockets' favor. But then when you talk about, well, who else is out there, well, what if Kawhi and somebody else team up with a Clippers team that already made the playoffs and they're good? Then what about in the East if KD and Kyrie end up going there? And now suddenly you've got all these other super teams and they have two solidified top of their game superstars, to your point, and you've got Harden, a less than Chris Paul, and you hope to maintain Eric Gordon, Clint Capella.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're going to be a championship team and you're an NBA team owner, you got to go in there with the mentality that you're probably going to be paying some luxury tax if you're going to win. If you really want to win, if you really want your team to win a championship in the NBA, you're probably going to pay a hefty luxury tax. It's just the way it is. And I've made this point before. I've actually asked, who did I ask? He's like a salary cap guy. Bobby Marks from Yahoo. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, like, don't you feel like that the salary cap is not moving up quick enough as fast as these big max deal contracts? He said, I don't believe it's that big of a deal, because if a team really wants to sign, they can just pay the luxury tax. It's an overrated situation. But how, if it's really an overrated situation, how come you can only really fit one or two stars now? And the Golden State Warriors, you've always talked about it, they got lucky. Not lucky, I mean, they did that made the smart plays, but they signed those guys early. And we know that challenge is going
to... They drafted and locked up their core.
Exactly.
And then they were able to add Kevin Durant.
Right. So, and that's going to be... It's going to be an issue for the Warriors. They're going to have to make a decision. Most people feel like KD is... I for one, feel like KD might be gone after this season.
I'm with you.
So...
But what I'm saying is the Rockets shouldn't be giddy about that, because now there's going to be more teams to deal with.
For sure.
When the Clippers have the ability to sign two max players. The Lakers have room for, you know, max players. Exactly. The road's going to get tougher. And with that being said, and decisions that you were mentioning, well, one decision Steve Kerr made was that he thought he thought Boogie Cousins was done for the playoffs. Boogie Cousins just told Mark Spears that he intends to play again this year. And he said, quote, I don't know the reality of it, but for me, this is not what I'm planning on doing. It's definitely some type of bad movie, but I think there's going to be a very happy ending. Just wait for it. He feels like before the end of the playoffs, he will be playing again. If he can, obviously that's a huge shot in the arm for them, because we remember what he did to Capella in the last game of the regular season when the two teams played, but I don't think he'll be a factor in this series. So anyway, we got plenty more to get to in the final hour of the show. Before we do that, I want to tell you that ESPN 97.5 is having a golf tournament. We're inviting you to take the day off of work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 Occasional Invitational presented by Twin Peaks, benefiting ProVision. This year's tournament, Wednesday, June the 5th, 11:30 a.m. at Wildcat. Each golfer receives beverages, lunch from Texadelphia, dinner, a custom ESPN 97.5 Gust Buster umbrella, which is the number one umbrella for all professional golf tours, and 18 holes of golf with all of us being out there at the course. You can register now, ESPN975.com. We look forward to seeing you with a great, fun day in the sun, and of course, benefiting a super good charity, Jeff Van Gundy's charity, ProVision. Back with the final hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.